Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, it's hour number two. Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN. Han Solo with you one more day. We'll get Bart back tomorrow. That make my man work a little bit, you know. The second annual DiPietro and Rothenberg pregame party is coming up Thursday, May 2nd. You can come out and see the live broadcast starting at 6 a.m. from Publicans in Manhasset. It's just steps away from the LIRR station in Manhasset. And then after the show, they're actually going to walk to the train station together to Citi Field to catch the Mets and the Cubs in a little matinee action at Citi Field. So you can hang out on the train with the boys while they go to the game. It's the pregame party with Rick and Dave on Thursday, May 2nd, and it is brought to you by Montauk Brewing Company, Come As You Are, and by Zing Zang, America's favorite Bloody Mary brand. Now it's even easier to enjoy a Bloody Mary with their pre-mixed cocktails available in convenient cans and party-sized bottles. Just open, pour, and enjoy. And please, everybody, Zing Zang responsibly. Some football news here for you. First and foremost, it was later in the show, but the Jets did finally depart with Zach Wilson. They found somebody to take him. That somebody, the Denver Broncos. What they had to do was give up a seventh-round pick with him, but they did get back a sixth-round pick. So that's what they got. Zach's mom already made sure to go to social media wearing Broncos orange, and I believe it was like whatever. So she did that. Exciting. There was that part of it. Dan Orlovsky had this to say about the Jets in this trade.
I think it's a really good opportunity for Zach Wilson. I still believe that there is physical talent there for Zach Wilson. I think that Zach Wilson is going to have to grow a lot with the two things that have held him back, and these were the same two things coming out of college. One, there was mechanical flaws in his lower half, and then two, panicking with the football. Now, Sean Payton is this coach that is very much so, this is how we play the position. One, two, three, we're on time, and the ball placement in the 5-yard throw to 12-yard throw is paramount. Mm-hmm. 2 years ago, that is something Zach Wilson struggled with mightily. He could make the 30-yard throw downfield, but really struggle with those easy things. I still think that Denver is very much so in the run for a quarterback in the first round this year. I don't think this deters them, but it's a place for Zach Wilson to go to and try to see if he could rebuild the fundamental part of his game.
And see if they could just get him right or whatever he was showing in the pre-draft process. Remember, he had the throw of the pro day season, if I'm not mistaken, before that draft. And there was some surprise when he was taken by the Jets that high. And it had did once again didn't work out. So Sean Payton will see if they can develop him. The pressure's now off him. But still, they have moved on from Zach Wilson. And now we'll see what they do with a – because, you know, clearly, with Tyrod Taylor as the backup, you'll bring in a young quarterback. So they'll find somebody to bring in and see if they can develop. Because Aaron Rodgers is obviously not going to be here much longer. But you're hoping at – I mean, get a year or two out of him, right? So you're going to have to find somebody in the next 2 years. So that'll be the next thing for Joe Douglas. Can he find, make another attempt to bring in a quarterback here for what will be the foreseeable future? 800-919-3776. On the Giants side of football news, it's all over social media right now that Darren Waller, although he has yet to tell the Giants if he's going to retire or not, we were wondering what's going on with him? Like, what's happening with him? Clearly, you weren't sure. Like, did he lose? Because he mentioned he wasn't sure if he was willing to give all he had to play football anymore. Well, there's other things going on in his life, allegedly or apparently. Reports say that he and his newlywed wife, Kelsey Plum, you know, she's from the WNBA, Las Vegas Aces. Online records are showing that there is a joint petition filed for a divorce in Clark County District Court on Tuesday. And that's today. So that's a bit of a surprise, is it not? They just got married in last March. And then Kelsey Plum went to social media with one of those posts that leaves you wondering, but also leaves you kind of speculating. She just simply writes, "I'm devastated. I walked through fire for that man, but now I see it's time to go." And then she's talking about having an incredible life and all this love from her family and blah, blah, blah. Then she said, "One day I'll share my story. Today's not that day." And that's it. So what happened? And is that what's impacting Darren Waller wanting to play football anymore? And I know there's a lot of gentlemen in the world that are quite happy that Kelsey Plum is no longer married. 800-919-3776. We'll continue with your calls. The Knicks with a improbable, incredible, memorable win last night at the Garden that has everybody in New York buzzing and everybody wanted to talk about it. So we want to give you the opportunity to do that. Let's go to Paul in Mendham. Paul.
Alan, hey, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Listen, I've been a Knicks fan since the 80s. I don't remember Clyde with the Knicks, but I do remember, obviously, Bernard King was my guy.
Yeah.
And I just want to say to those fans out there how special this team is, especially when you look back. You know, the Ewing years were special, right? But they never brought the chip home. And, you know, hopefully we can get there. But, you know, fast forward to last night. The toughness that they exhibited, to me, comes down to Deuce McBride ripping that ball out of Maxey's hands.
It's a great example.
Right? Now, Maxey is a special player. You said it. He's lightning. He could score. But that toughness, you call it, you know, Villanova, that Jay Wright mentality. If that, you could see it. You could see it manifested in Deuce. You could see it manifested in Hartenstein. That was a professional rebound, Alan, that last rebound by Hartenstein.
Watch
that view from underneath the basket, right next to all those Knicks. He comes in. He is not touched. He gets that ball, kicks it out to OG, and as you know, the rest is history.
And he knew what to do with it. Like he knew what to do with it the minute he got the rebound
exactly.
Because they were prepared. OG knew what to do with it the minute he got the pass because he was prepared. That's the other part of this is that a team – look, coaches can try to prepare you. They can give you scouting reports. They can tell you this is what we want to do. If players aren't taking in that information and processing it in the right time, you're going to have what the Sixers had, which was they didn't know what the hell to do. And Nick Nurse is a great coach.
Agreed.
But they did not know what to do in that last possession.
Agreed. But those are just the little things. And
yes.
I played basketball, high school and college, right? And – you know, those are the things you just don't teach. And I'm telling you right now, what I see is, you know, McBride and Hartenstein, they're bought in. You know, they're on that level right now. And we didn't know what we had with Deuce, right?
No.
Until quickly got traded.
Mm-hmm.
And look what he's done. And, you know, I don't even know what else to say other than I'm looking forward to the rest of the series. And, you know, hopefully we can get there. You know, we got to get there first. And then, you know, you play the next series, right? But you got to get there. Philly's going to be tough. We know that. It's not over. We all know that, right? It's not over. And look, I'm rooting for him, and you know, I'll be on board.
Love it, Paul. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it, man. Like again, it's clearly not. You still got to get two more wins, but you have the benefit of the, you know, the rest of the series to get two. Like, think about it that way. You've already got you have plenty of time to get two, and you still have because of home court advantage. Home games, in fact, you know, like that, two of them. That's the benefit of it. But still, you have to respect what the Sixers have been doing with Jalen Brunson. And that is the part with 2 days now between games that I guarantee you that the coaching staff is poring over film. So is Brunson to try to figure it out. Regan and Roslyn. Regan.
Hey, Alan. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
The Brunson had the quiet Leonard bounce. That's a sign. That's
a
sign for us.
That's a good call. Joel Embiid has seen that bounce before. Great call.
Exactly. One more thing. And as Josh Hart said in the first game, Tibbs always coached him. It's not over until the whistle has blown.
Right.
And we've seen commentators from the different stations thinking it was over. I was going back and forth with TNT and MSG just to get different perspectives.
Mm-hmm.
TNT coverage was a bit biased towards Philly. But to my Knicks point and my Brunson point, I think Brunson needs to go back to our basics before the playoffs, before the last few games of the playoffs, where he was trusting more of his teams and playing less ISO ball. Now, it became one-dimensional when he had the ball. He's going, and then he's getting double-teamed, sometimes triple-team, and then dribbling it off his feet or turning it over. We have made runs, and every single time we have made bigger runs was when Brunson was on the bench. Now, we need Brunson. We cannot win this series without him. but I think we still need to go back to the basics and trusting his team a little bit more, and then that's going to get him better shots. Because now, Philly have done it in two games. Once he have the ball, he's going too much ISO. So we need to fix that. Once he start trusting his team again, breaking down the defense, finding the open man, we're going to win this series in five.
All right. Now, it's again, with Brunson, you got to understand, credit the defense for putting him in those situations. I mean, they are literally, knowing the pick and roll is coming, they will double after he goes through it. They'll switch. They'll double. And then they close him off. Now, they haven't doubled a lot. In fact, they've been some one-on-one situations where they've just stayed down. They're not biting on fakes. And they have length on him, so he's having a hard time, even though they aren't jumping, shooting over it because Oubre's tall with long arms. They actually put Tobias Harris on him as well. And Tobias is about 6'8". You know, Nick Batum, 6'7", big long arms. That's what they're doing. And they're taking away his ability to use his footwork against you. Jalen Brunson against guards his size eats them alive, bullies them. They can't handle it. But in this case, they don't have guards like that. You know, they're not playing guards like that. So Lowry is the closest to what, you know, a player of his size. And you can see Lowry's got the hands that are just, they drive you crazy. And he's really strong, so he can handle Brunson. This is just a matchup nightmare this series for him. I don't think he's going ISO and being selfish. I think the defense is forcing him into those types of situations, and he's got nowhere to go. They've done a great, great job. And you know what they want? They want the other players to make shots. As Nick Nurse said, they'll live with Josh Hart shooting threes. Josh Hart knew it, prepared for it, and in the first two games has been phenomenal while doing it. Nick in Woodbridge, what's up, Nick?
Hey, Alan, thanks for taking my call. I think just a couple things. So, one, I really, really love what I'm seeing from Bogdanovich coming off the bench. And you can't understate how important those two threes were that he hit in the fourth quarter with the scoring starting to tighten up a little bit. Like, he's just been awesome. He's shooting almost 42% from three. You know, that's a big deal because we really weren't sure what we had up until a few weeks ago turning it on. And the other thing is, you know, you say what you want about Tibbs, and it's ironic the same day that he gets snubbed on not being named a finalist for Coach of the Year, Tibbs would never have let the game get away from him the way Nick Nurse did last night. He would have been all over that situation, calling that timeout, being very deliberate in his approach. But I think looking ahead, like, you know, you go down to Philly, you got a really good chance to win this series. I'll take it. Listen, even if you go down there and you split one and one.
That's what you're looking for.
You come back to the Garden.
You are looking for the split. But what you're looking for, Nick, and thanks for the – you're looking for a couple of things. The first thing is, will they be tight? They played at home in their play-in game against the Heat. In that first quarter, they were tight. And you want to see, are they going to be tight now at home? Because they know they got to get this, right? Are they going to be a little too rattled? Are they going to be a little too juiced up? Like, whatever it is, are they going to be able to handle the moment? And if you're the Knicks, you can go in there. You still got to be intense. You still got to be who you are. But you don't necessarily have the same amount of pressure they do. They are under the gun. And what you have to your advantage is, number one, confidence comes from demonstrated performance. They have gone into Philly this year twice, and they have blown them off the floor both times. One of them, Embiid, was in the game. He played. The other one, he didn't. So you've already gone in there and won. And on top of it, your main players, the Villanova guys, they'll look up in the rafters and they'll see, we've hung banners in this place. Like, that's home for them. They are not going into a place that is uncertain and unsure. Now, yes, the crowd won't be cheering for them like they did when they played for Villanova all those years ago. We get that. But are you telling me that maybe it'll be a little bit of a house divided if things start to go their way? We see the Philly fans booed their team off the floor at halftime of the play-in game when they were down 12 to the Heat. They booed them off the floor. If the Knicks somehow apply enough pressure to take a lead, you don't think that's going to happen again? Like I said, it could be a house divided. For instance, last night after the game, Villanova, their men's basketball account on Twitter, Nova MBB, blue check, said this our guys, Jalen Brunson and DiVincenzo, two huge threes to seal the win in game two. They listed Brunson, DiVincenzo, Hart. They had video of the replay of the end of the game. Villanova celebrating the Knicks' win because they're guys. The replies are worth your time. The replies are worth your time. One said, Philly Hotspur said, this admin needs to be canned. World of Joe, not a Philly school. Never were. Philly hates you. Another one, you're a Philly school rooting for the opposing team. Do better. Delete this tweet, someone else said. It goes on and on and on.
I ain't gonna lie, I'm getting cooked.
You're not a Philly school. Canceled. I mean, it just goes on. So, gotta love it. We'll continue the calls, 800-919-3776. Gustavo in West Orange. Gustavo.
How you doing, Alan? Thank you for taking my call.
You got it.
Listen, what's up with Bart? Isn't Bart taking vacation time? He's leaving you alone?
Yeah. He took a couple of days, get a little, you know, rest and relaxation. He had a long football season. Trust me, once we get to the end of this playoff run, you won't see me. I'm a ghost.
That's good. So check this out. Yesterday, the Power Hour was great. I had a lot of fun hearing whoever did the Power Hour.
That was Jacob.
So let's keep it up.
All right.
Yeah, that's good. He did good. He did really good.
That a boy,
so
Jake.
Check this out. This is my point. This is my point. Mm-hmm. Couple of pointers. One, I think that Nick Nurse, the coach of the 76ers, he should have called the foul as soon as, Brunson hit the three. Should have called a foul right there. Then they move the ball from midcourt.
Agree. Yeah.
And then they can really, you know, they put the Knicks on a bad spot. So he messed up, okay? It's not after that he tried. Yeah, we all saw it on the TV. But the referees are having their hands full. You know, the Garden exploded. And I'm sure that if
loud.
The same situation happened in Philadelphia, it's going to happen against us. And let's not forget that, and I'm just remembering this game, remember the game against Houston when Brunson was called for a foul that never happened. Okay, and, you know, we ended up losing that game. Of course, this is the playoffs. That's the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
So, and my other pointer is that maybe you can enlighten me and you can educate me better.
What's that?
Our best defensive-minded player is OG. Their best offensive player is Maxey. Mm-hmm. So, at the end of the game, you got to make sure that you put OG on him and you shadow him that he cannot take. Yesterday, we were lucky. They allowed him to shoot that three. But thank God it didn't go. But otherwise, we would have lost.
Okay.
So that cannot happen. We were
you
lucky.
Asked me to educate you. You asked me to educate you, and I will. If you watch that game closely, OG is getting cooked by Maxey. OG's a great defender. But the one thing that can beat him is quickness, and Maxey is just cat-like. Like, he is really fast and shifty, and even OG Anunoby has a hard time keeping him in front. It's difficult.
So, Alan,
Deuce McBride, let me finish. Deuce McBride and Dante DiVincenzo have done better against him because they are a little bit quicker and able to at least, and Deuce has been very good against him. So that matchup, it's better to use OG as a help defender because he's really good at deflections and he reads well. In that situation, you use OG as a help defender rather than as the straight up on ball defender.
That's right.
And we're going to see that more in this series. I just don't think they're going to use him on him, but they shouldn't do it full time because I do think he has a hard time guarding him and especially going through those screens.
So you think that Tibbs is not telling their guys not to double team him when he gets, because who's the other option that they have other than Embiid, you know, that shooting that?
Well, Harris Harris knocked down a couple of open threes that were critical during the game. He can do it. Batum can do it. You know, there are guys you got to worry about. It's not they don't get the ball much though. That's the problem. Is that, you know, when Maxey beats this guy off the dribble, like, you know, 9 times out of 10, doesn't need to pass it. He's going to put up a layup, and Embiid. Is going to shoot over smaller defenders, which pretty much everybody other than Mitchell Robinson is smaller than him. So he's going to shoot over them, which is what he does. There has not been a great deal of ball movement for the Sixers. They haven't had to.
And thank God Hardy has not been shooting well at all. you know, he hasn't been, you know, shooting the ball very well for Philadelphia. So that's good news for us. However, there's one other point that I want to tell you. Can somebody please make Embiid move lateral?
Yes.
You know, and not just leave him with space. Yeah. I mean, we got to test that knee. The guy can't jump.
No.
He can't. You know, that's why they put him on the outside to shoot threes.
Agree with you on that one. And I actually said at halftime something that I tweeted it, which I got to learn to stop with Twitter. I mean, it's ridiculous. Because everything you say, somebody's always going to find a way to twist it. All I said was simply this, that I feel like the Knicks were being a little too nice with Embiid. That's all I said. Like, just they needed to play a little tougher. A little more. I use the word snarl, right? Which is, I use that as because it was something that Peter Laviolette, when he was coaching the Islanders, used to use that term. It was funny to us. Like, as writers, we all loved it. We play with some snarl. Like, you know, like, just a funny word. So it's simply all I said. I felt like it was, they were too nice, knowing that he's got a bum knee. And I said, you got to play with a little more snow. And I'm not saying you are trying to hurt him, which of course everybody now, especially in Philadelphia, is like, oh, you're calling for them to try to injure the man. I'm like, no. Clearly, you've never played sports before if you don't know what I'm talking about. But when somebody clearly has an injury and you're trying to win, you know, this is not playing on the driveway and we're going to be respectful to each other. And we just, you know, like, it doesn't really matter who wins. No, it freaking matters who wins. So if your knee's not right and you're sitting there just taking, you know, rainbow jumpers on me left and right and enjoying your day, sorry, I'm not giving you a free pass. You got one leg. I'm going at the bad one. I'm going to attack you. I'm going to drive that way. When I box you out, I'm making sure I hit that side. This is how we do it. It's competition. It's all I was saying. And I do feel like not enough of that was done in the first half. You can wear him down. Fourth quarter, you could see it. He's out of gas. Nothing in the tank. His conditioning is poor, and the knee, he is dragging up the floor. He gets 2 days off now. So he's going to have, at least you expect, a gigantic first quarter, first half. But you can't let him. I would just continually beat him up. Fine. He goes to the line, gets free throw, whatever. But it's the attrition. Eventually, it's going to catch up. All right. Tons of calls. I love it. 800-919-3776. I see an Islanders call I definitely got to get to because I need somebody to tell me what the hell happened last night. And I certainly need to know what the hell Noah Dobson was doing on the goal because I watched the replay of that, and I still can't figure it out. Rangers tonight against the Capitals. So can the Garden Magic continue for a fourth straight day? Audio files coming up, so let's hear from all the different people and what happened last night, of course, at the Garden, but also around the NBA. A crazy night. And we'll talk about it with you. Stay with us. Barton Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk. The Yankee offense has been struggling, and clearly Aaron Judge has not looked like Aaron Judge, so much so that the Boo Birds out of the stadium yesterday, a decision by Yankee fans that Michael Kay does not understand.
This is a New York fan base, Yankee fan base, that is trying to seduce Juan Soto. You don't think Juan Soto sees you're booing Aaron Judge, the captain of the team? You don't think he sees that? I'm not deriding you for doing it, and I'm not saying you can't do it. What are you doing, though? For what reason? Do you think that it's cool? Now, I remember Derek Jeter got booed in 2004. He was 0 for 32. Mariano got booed because he blew two saves to the Red Sox. Also, incomprehensible. So, I don't know how big the crowd was today, but it was a sellout on Saturday. It was Aaron Judge bobblehead day. They booed him loudly at the end. They booed him today as well. What? What are you trying to accomplish?
And that is brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up at 3 o'clock, it's the Michael Kay Show, and it's only here on 98.7 FM.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
What are you feeling here, Jake?
I mean, it was a great New York win. I just felt like, why not keep it in New York? Anything about New York, and we're just going to roll with that.
I like it. It feels like when Clyde was wearing bell bottoms at, where was that? What was that bar
studio,
called? That
Studio 54?
No, he was pre-Studio 54. It was Namath had a bar they all hung out at. I can't remember the name of it right now, but anyways. Bart Hahn, Alan Hahn going Han Solo with you today, 800-919-3776. Of course, we will continue with your calls, but you know what time it is. Right now, it's time for me to step aside and let the headline makers do the talking in the segment we like to call
Audio Files.
The Audio File.
Wow, so Jake did it today, not Dino. Did you jump ahead of him? Because this is like Ray's thing. He loves doing this.
I decided after the ending of that Islanders game, it was Jacob's day. Jacob's day for me.
Jacob's day. Yeah, Ray, we got to talk about this. Seriously, I almost feel like in Audio Files, you know what? We never really do this, but it technically a caller is audio. I need to go with Tommy and Mendham. Tommy, what the hell happened to a 3-0 lead in the playoffs for the Islanders?
Yeah, a lifelong fan. It was 11 when Nystrom scored the goal, and I don't think I've ever seen a team go into a shell like that with a 3-0 lead. It was like they were on a penalty kill the last 30 minutes of the game, and I don't know what that means. I mean, they didn't play great in the first period, but they got off to a nice lead, and they had the game under control. And are they scared? I mean, do they have a chance going forward? That was just crazy.
It's scared or inexperienced. Is it lack of preparation? Is it soft? Yeah, I'll say it. Is it something like that? I mean, the Noah Dobson, I don't even call it play. I don't know what he did on the game winner. Like, what are you doing? Take the hit. Get the puck. Like, that is, like, I would love to ask Dennis Potvin. I don't know if he'd ever say it publicly. If we ever got him on the air, he wouldn't. Because I know Denny would not criticize a player openly like that. But privately, I'd love to hear what he'd have to say about that. Because that there's no way you allow yourself to get punked. Dino, you were watching the game. What did you see on that play as he's going in, the puck is behind the net, and he's first man in, and somehow, some way, he doesn't come away with the puck. Instead, it ends up in the back of the net. How?
Well, watching that whole, like, since Anders Lee scored to take a 3-0
lead, yeah,
it made you wonder if the Islanders even have a weight room, because they were just thrown around. Obviously, Rod Brind'Amour is known for his own conditioning, and if he's coaching the Hurricanes
as a coach, right,
they are going to be in shape. But they just threw the Islanders around, and that Noah Dobson just getting tossed behind the net was just the culmination of the whole thing.
Sad. Patrick Waugh after the game.
Well, it's more than the last few minutes of that game. I mean, we had a really good start. I thought we had a good start. They put pressure, but we didn't give them much in that first period, and we took, the 3-0 lead, and I felt like when we took those penalty, that gave them the momentum and the game shift big time. And for some reason, I mean, we started losing those one-on-one battles, and we didn't do a very good job along the wall to get those puck out, and they took advantage of it. I mean, on our regroup, that was the big difference, in my opinion, from this, you know, first half of the game to the second half. And their D start pinching and be heavy on those pucks, and we didn't respond to that.
I mean, coincidentally, if you think about it, this series and the Knicks-Sixers series, the Islanders are playing the role of the Sixers here. should be up 2-0, could be up 2-0, but because of, you know, various forms of ineptitude, whether it's finishing in game one with millions of opportunities or not closing out a game that you were in full control of, which has been on brand for them, unfortunately, this season. I mean, no one gives away a third period like them. They are a great 40-minute team. Great 40-minute team. Suck in the last 20. Moving on. Speaking of the Knicks and the Sixers series, that also has a little bit of controversy and despair and frustration and everything else, at least from the side of the Sixers. Their frustration was in the end of this game. So the euphoria for the Knicks side, which is the hustle and grit and toughness and don't give up and making every play possible, there, of course, is the other side, which was Nick Nurse claiming, I was trying to get a timeout and they wouldn't give it to me.
We don't get it in quick. I call timeout. Referee looked right at me, ignored me. Went into Tyrese. I called timeout again. Then the melee started. And, yeah, I mean, I guess I got to run out onto the floor or do something to make sure and get his attention. But I needed a timeout there to advance it. Would have been good, but couldn't get it.
So when he says, what do I got to do, run out on the court? Yes. You ever see Eric Spoelstra, Michael Malone? Like, you see guys literally walk on the floor. Spoelstra, nobody does it like Spo. Game is going on. Spo's halfway out on the court. Bangs a timeout. I am making sure you see me. And if you watch it, we watch it a million times. I watched it more this morning as well. He takes two fingers and puts them together to make a T. Two fingers. Who does that? Come on, Nick. He's a great coach. That was the most passive, I'm not sure I want to call a timeout kind of situation. His team should have never inbounded that basketball. Your veteran guard started it by picking up the basketball, which he should have never done. Now the countdown's beginning. Your players are not organized. Right there, it's timeout. Right there. You got to see my guys are not organized. They're not ready for this. So as much as you can argue different fouls, could have been foul here, could have been, forget it. These were self-inflicted wounds, but the Sixers don't want to hear it. What they are talking about is simply what happened at the end of the game.
Do you think you guys had gotten a timeout in?
I mean, everybody on the floor was trying to call a timeout, myself including Nico, coach on the sideline. But that didn't give it to us. But, you know, forget about a timeout. There's a bunch of fouls. You know, that's, yeah, like I said, that's unacceptable.
Listen. If you watch it back, does it look like everybody is trying to call a timeout? Come on, Joel. That is not accurate. Meanwhile, in the other doubleheader on TNT last night, phenomenal ending in the Nuggets Lakers game two. The Lakers did all they were supposed to do, at least you thought, to finally end a losing streak to the Denver Nuggets. It was 9 straight games. Remember, they got swept last year in the Western Conference Finals. And then they had already lost game one. They lost all the games in the regular season as well. So they had the game plan right. They were winning this game. They were up by 20 in the third quarter. AD was great. LeBron, great. And D'Angelo Russell, great. More on that in a moment. And the game slips away. They lose at the buzzer. And as usual, instead of talking about things that went wrong for them with another meltdown fourth quarter where they run out of gas. And, you know, Denver's just a great team, right? What you have instead is a call that was made early in the fourth quarter on Russell. Russell was driving to the basket. Michael Porter Jr. came over and got a block. But on his after blocking it, his hand comes down and it hits Russell in the face. It's called a foul. It's reviewed. And then the review back in New Jersey... The call to the review center, they decide it's not a foul. He got the ball first. And as we've learned, contact after blocking a shot, they let it go. So I'm going for the ball. If I get the ball first, whatever happens after that, not a problem. The play's already been made. So him getting hit in the face doesn't matter when I hit the ball first and cleanly hit the ball. So they overturned that call. Now, momentum is swinging already in this game. And what was 20 was 11 and suddenly became a tight game down the stretch. Lakers had plenty of opportunities to win this game. They did not. And so after the game, there was more frustration and conversation about officiating than what really did matter. Here's LeBron.
I don't understand what's going on in the replay center, to be honest. I said it. I think I said it this year or last year or whatever. D'Lo clearly gets hit in the face on a drive. What the f*** do we have a replay center if it's going to go? It doesn't make sense to me. It makes no sense to me. It bothers me. Sorry I didn't answer your question, but that is like. And then I just saw what happened with the Sixers Knicks game too. What are we doing?
What happened in the Sixers Knicks game? Like, I'd love to get his opinion on what happened at the end of the Sixers Knicks game. What did you think happened? Because we've already gone over that. So anyways, that series is now 2-0, and it feels like that series is over. That 2-0 feels more over than the Knicks Sixers 2-0. Because that 2-0, it's like in their heads now. Do you know that that's the longest losing streak in the playoffs in LeBron's career? Which is believable, of course. His previous was 5 because he had gotten swept. You remember at his last year in Cleveland, they got swept. And then they lost game 1 of his first playoff game with the Lakers. And so he had never lost more than 5 in a row in the playoffs until now. He lost 4 last year in the Western Conference Finals, first 2 here, 6 in a row. Amazing. So that's what's happening on that front. But keep an eye on what's happening with the Lakers, because Darvin Ham might be coaching his way out of L.A. There was already some frustration with him and lack of decision-making and everything else. But then there's this from Anthony Davis. Didn't have a lot to say after this game, but he did say this.
We've shown that we're more than capable. We have stretches where we just don't know what we're doing on both ends of the floor. And those are the ones that cost us. We got 2 days to get it right, and come ready to win game 3 Thursday.
Boy, when you say that there's stretches where we don't know what we're doing on either end of the floor, I mean, do you think he's talking about anything more than coaching? Alarming. So, something to watch if the Lakers do lose this first-round series, and I mean, all odds tell you they will. That's a damning statement there for sure. All right, continuing on audio files, the NFL draft is in a couple of days, and Field Yates on DNR talked about what would be the best strategy for the Giants.
I, in my heart of hearts, believe the Giants' best course of action is to sit there at number 6 overall, and if J.J. McCarthy makes it to them, have a thoughtful conversation about whether you should take him, and then obviously move on from Daniel Jones, most likely after this season, or if you just take Malik Nabers or Roma Dunze, who I think will be there waiting for them at pick number 6, because each of those players absolutely merits a 6th overall pick, I'd be all in on either of those wideouts at number 6.
I mean, again, do you get the skill players? Because you lack a playmaker now in your offense if you're the Giants. The Saquon Barkley's gone. Your wide receiver room doesn't have that game breaker. There's some talent in there still. I'm not trying to throw shade at those guys. But you don't have a skill guy that is like, this is our playmaker. You have a quarterback in Daniel Jones that can be that when he's healthy, but when he's healthy, he's always been the caveat. Or do you just go for the quarterback? There's talk of them potentially trading up. Them and the Vikings could be trying to get that number 3 pick if the Patriots don't like what falls to them at 3, all depending on what happens at 1 and 2. There's talk that 4 quarterbacks could go in the first 4 picks. That this could be absolute mayhem on Thursday night with trading up and everything else, depending on what happens from 1 and 2. So do the Giants get aggressive and try to get their quarterback of the future? Or do they try to get a playmaker and a high-end one in one of the wide receivers and then give Daniel Jones something to work with and then just kick the can down the road when it comes to the quarterback position? Remains to be seen. And that's why we watch. And that's why that's Audio Files. 800-919-3776 is the number. We will continue with your calls coming up, so stay with us. It's Bart and Han, 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, Bart and Han. Alan Han, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN. Bart off today, so Han Solo with you for one more day. We'll get Bart back tomorrow. A lot of NFL. I mean, you got the draft coming on Thursday. What a busy day Thursday is, because that's game 3 now for Knicks and Sixers. The draft is that night as well. The Jets and Giants, both the top 10 picks, and a lot of intrigue in both of those picks. And now let me guess. Let me see. So the Rangers play tonight. So Dino, what is now next? So neither team obviously is playing Wednesday, right? So what comes? I guess Thursday just going to be loaded with a ton of games?
There'll be the Knicks and Islanders on Thursday.
Of course.
And, of course, the first round of the NFL draft.
Sorry, so the Rangers then don't go till Friday?
I believe that's true.
Wow. Okay. So, once again, I can't watch the Islanders.
You don't want to.
I do, because no. I want to be able, like, look, I'm getting, my son just continually texts me. He's up at school, and he just constantly, like, he was so mad. It was also happening at the same time. Think about it as the Knicks, which felt like a, you know, a loss, an inevitable loss, suddenly was turning into a euphoric win. At the exact same time, the Islanders were piddling away what should have been a big playoff win and then heading home with momentum in a series that all of a sudden looked like maybe they could actually win this thing. I mean, they're matching it pretty well. And so that's collapsing. So as other friends of mine who are Knick fans are like texting me like, can't believe this. This is amazing. I'm getting him with every F-bomb possible about every player he could think of. And I'm thinking to myself, you can't have two happy. Like, is one happy or another? You can't have them both, right, in one night. Couldn't happen. But now they play again on the same night. So that's Thursday. And then, of course, the draft as well. So a very, very busy Thursday, which means, of course, a very busy Friday show that we will have this week. So Bart will be back tomorrow. And obviously, plenty of football to talk about with all the options that the Giants might have, quarterback and everything else. But back to the calls. We have tons of calls. We'll go full buffet, of course, the rest of the show. And all you Islander fans, like I said, I took one already. But you guys can jump into this pool, you know. I mean, there's got to be some frustration on your side of this. And Ranger fans, you play tonight. Can you get four straight days of magic at the Garden? Can the Rangers go up 2-0 against the Capitals? They look like the better team in game one. Once, of course, the seal was broken after that Rempe goal. Esther is in New Jersey. Hi, Esther.
Hi, Alan. Thanks for taking my call. I'm actually driving to Holy Cross to buy my son his first legal drink for his 21st birthday. And
nice.
He's a huge Knicks fan and a huge U fan. You've inspired him since he was just a little guy. And he's connected with you on LinkedIn. He wants to pursue a career in the sports industry. And I just was hoping that you could wish him a happy birthday. He's listening.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I definitely want to...
His name is Ben, and he's a junior at Holy Cross.
Yeah. First of all, Holy Cross, great choice. Great school. I'm sure that ride is fun. It's a long ride.
Oh,
but, obviously, happy birthday. The 21st is the biggest one. My son just had his last year, and that's that moment, too. You got to have that first drink with your son, right? Although you call it the first drink, he might be like, yeah, my first drink. Sure.
It's not my first drink with my son, I'll confess.
All right, there you go. That's fair enough. That's fair enough. That's good. But no, obviously, happy birthday to him. What a birthday celebration it must have been last night for him to see that game. And
oh, my gosh. He was out of his mind excited. I told him we'd eat some ragu today to celebrate.
There you go. I love it. Love it. Well, have a great time. Safe travels. Focus on the road, of course. And wish him all the best for me. And you know, obviously, he knows already. He can reach out to me anytime, any type of advice or whatnot. We can certainly take care of that. All right, Esther, thank
you
so much.
We appreciate it. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too. That's wonderful. I mean, did you have your first, like, obviously, we've all had our first drinks, right? Like, on our own with friends and stuff. Like, you sneak the drink, whatever. I mean, how many people really waited till they were 21? Not many. If you did, God bless. Good for you. But most of us didn't. But when you did turn 21, and it was official. That first drink, like that first legal drink, I never really got to do that with my dad. We weren't really, like, it wasn't like that. But I did that with my son last year, and that was cool. I did it with my daughter, my oldest daughter, 2 years ago. And that was like, it was like a moment. You know, like, is that special or am I making too much of this? Because I love that Esther said that. She's taking that time. Now, it's his birthday, so of course you want to spend time with your kids. She's making the drive. She's from Jersey. That's not bad. Going to Holy Cross in Worcester, Massachusetts. So that's, you know, it's a decent drive. But go up and have that drink, official legal drink, celebrate, cheers, and all that. I find stuff like that to be special. And even if it's not technically the first drink, it still matters, doesn't it? Because, okay, now you're officially an adult. Like, you're a grown man now. And it's like you cheers to that. Celebrate that moment. Milestone, as you will. Maybe I'm just getting old and I'm just finding these moments thing. Like I made that rant yesterday about being a fan. Maybe I'm just getting old and all this stuff like becomes more important to me because you wonder how much time do you have left. And you also look at how much every day we go through things that frustrate us, piss us off, whatever it is. And so when you do have moments of joy, it's like, man, enjoy these. Make more of it, right? Celebrate life. There was nothing more lively than what happened last night at the Garden. 800-919-3776, so we'll continue with calls. We will do like the full buffet thing. So like I said, I know a lot of you want to talk Knicks, but there still are other things that we can certainly discuss, whether it's the NFL draft coming up, whether it is obviously the hockey teams and where both of them are in two different spectrums right now. I mean, as euphoric as the Knicks fan feels last night, I can't even imagine what an Islander fan feels right now after that game, snatching defeat from the jaws of victory. So, Power Hour coming up. Stay with us. The road to the NBA Finals, though, that starts now. And new customers on FanDuel can go on their own playoff run with $150. Just place any $5 bet, and you'll get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose, to use during the NBA playoffs. You can bet on three-pointers made in a game, and I'm telling you, with the Celtics, you take the over 49 attempts. They made 22 in Game 1 against the Heat. Trust me, they're going to continue to put them up no matter what the Heat do. That's what the Celtics do. They live and, you know that live and die by the three? The Celtics live, you die. Over-under in point totals, you can take the under in the defensive struggle-type series, and that would be obviously this one between the Knicks and the Sixers. First basket score, you always look and see like teams, they have certain plays out of the gate. First one scripted is always for your top scorer, your main guy. Get him going. I always say it could be Brunson. I would probably look in game two, Dame Lillard, for the Bucks and the Pacers series. You can also do a lot more. Just go to FanDuel.com/Allen to get started. FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. 21 older, physically present in New York. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369.
Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk. So far in the two games, he's missed 39 of his 55 shots. But Jalen Brunson, a huge three last night that helped the Knicks rally from down five with 30 seconds to go to steal game two. Tom Thibodeau just loves his point guard's resolve.
I just love the way he's wired. And so just keep going. And you never know when something changes. And I don't know, he's rebounding the ball. He's playmaking. He's not hesitating. And look, they're paying a lot of attention to him, which is opening up other things for us. So just keep going. And that's what I love. And I want all our guys like that.
And that is brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up 3 o'clock, it's the Michael K. Show, and it's only here on 98.7 FM.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.